Warning, the views and opinions expressed on the show are those and solely those of the hosts and in no way represent the station from which they broadcast from, nor the DJs with whom they work with.
Alrighty then.
But by listening, you will be enlightened by a different brand of useless information.
Bazinga.
And very modest hilarity.
And that's the bottom line.
It's time to hear from the other guys.
I'm a peacock. You gotta let me fly.
What's up, everybody?
I was waiting at you.
Oh, should I do it again?
No.
No, we'll own it. Woo.
Hey, guys.
Thank you again for tuning into this week's episode of The Other Guys Podcast. I'm Baby Huey, joined by my Aftershock tag team partners, the wonderful Chasta.
Yes, hello.
And the amazing Bimbo Jimbo.
Let's get it going.
So, yes.
That's the one.
That's the ticket.
See, Jimbo, not so hard, or it's very hard, I should say, doing these intros.
You talking?
Yeah. But, yes, we came, we saw, we conquered this year's 2017 Aftershock Festival up at Discovery Park in Sacramento. And so we decided that today's episode, or this week's episode, I should say, is going to be just fully devoted to that, recapping our full weekend. A lot of stuff went down in that 48 hours we were up in our friends up north, and a lot of fun stuff, some interesting stuff, and we have a lot of stuff to talk about. So I guess, yeah, let's jump right into it. Chasta, you and I, we went up Saturday morning.
Yes.
In the past, I've gone Friday afternoon, evening to Sacramento just and check in the hotel, and just that way Saturday morning I can have like get up early and get going, get ready. But this year we all decided let's just go up Saturday, part of it, save a little money on the hotel.
Definitely.
But also just drive up there, check in, and also it was our media passes were off site, so we had to go pick those up, got some breakfast, went over to the venue, and just started right away. So
yeah, we were there at doors open 11 o'clock.
Yeah, and that's the other thing.
You guys were on time?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
We were ahead of time.
Wow.
Yeah. Well,
we had no traffic on Saturday morning.
See, that was the interesting thing. See, I was worried because I wanted to leave at 8 a.m., and I was like, anticipating some traffic and stuff, but let's say traffic and all, it takes 2 hours to get the sack from Alameda. So I was like, if I leave at 8, get there at 10, I still got plenty of time to get my media pass, go to the venue, all that stuff. But I fell behind. I was honestly updating my iTunes and stuff.
What?
I was running late.
Wait, you were running late?
Yes.
Baby Huey time again? When did that happen?
So I left Alameda at 8:30. But driving through Emeryville and up 80, there was like hardly any traffic. I think I got in the sack about 9:45, 9:50-ish. And I got to the hotel, and I was just sitting there waiting because I know the rest of you guys, you and Mari, also Mari was there as well, and your husband, Jay.
Sucks waiting for people, right?
For the first time, he was waiting on us.
What was that like for you to experience that? Probably pretty traumatizing.
As soon as he walked in the door, he's like, where are you guys? Where are you? Hello, where are you?
I'll do my best Jimbo impression.
Please, I have the patience of a saint.
I did say almost there, and I was not almost there.
Good for you.
I was in like Vallejo, and I said almost
there.
You
should have said almost there when you were still in Pacifica. I know.
Well, we were running late because it was my first time to leave Cody, and I was running around the house like making sure
It
is a big moment, and so every little thing had to be in place. So yeah, I'm usually the first one on scene, and I was the last one on scene this time.
Well,
but
so
you forgave me.
Yeah. Oh, it's all good. Because what happened was I got there.
Rich.
Well, the interesting thing, the hotel that we had to go pick up our media passes offsite, which is, like I said, first time that they did this. Normally we go just to the venue and right up front, you can just pick up your media passes. This time around, they had us go to a separate hotel, then go to the venue. It wasn't that bad because the hotel we had to go to was right down the street from one of the entrances from the venue. But nonetheless, a little extra hoops to jump through.
Can I tell my laptop?
So I went and got my media pass. I don't think Jimbo knows this. So for me, I wanted just to get the lay of the land. And it's interesting, this hotel I actually stayed at 2 years ago. Yeah. So I know it's actually a good spot as far as right near the venue. But so I go pick up my media wristband, and I'm just standing there waiting for you guys. Mm-hmm. Mari shows up. She gets hers. We're like, all right, we're ready to go. So we're going to McDonald's just to kill some time, get some breakfast. That's when you showed up and
you guys weren't there.
Interesting experience.
Yeah, so I show up and you know, it's a on the list kind of situation because we had to petition to get these passes. You have to show your ID. It's like a whole thing.
Confirmation, right? Email.
Confirmation, email, all of it. And so, you know, you line up and I get to there. I'm like, hi, you know, I'm Chasta, blah, blah, blah. Here's my ID. And the woman's looking. There's three women sitting there. And the woman I'm talking to is looking. And she goes, not on the list. And I go, okay, well, I have my confirmation email if that would help, you know. And so I give her that. And she looks again. And then she literally, I'm so glad we're doing Facebook Live because there's a moment that you have to see. She literally goes like this. You're not on the list. And slams her laptop. And I'm like, okay, that was dramatic and super. totally not necessary. Yeah. And I'm like, listen, it's not like I'm 20 trying to buy a beer. I'm here to work. Like, I'm legitimately here.
Sick and tired of all you diva media people.
I couldn't believe it. I was so embarrassed. And I was like trying to
embarrass for her.
Prove who I was. Like, you already have my ID. You have my work, my business card. You have the confirmation email from your boss that I'm supposed to get these from you. Like, I don't know. You want a blood sample? Like, I don't know what to give you.
How did it so work then, out?
Well, you texted me.
Then I'm texting
and
him.
And I started running over there.
No, he's not being truthful. He's like, yeah, you know, we're hanging backstage. We're hanging backstage with a perfect circle. I'm like, no, dude, seriously, they're not letting me in. I'm not joking. Like, get over here. Mm. And so we did that for a minute.
Odd.
He was vortexing me.
I was walking as I was texting you that.
To be fair.
Yes.
And so then he gets there. And so then three people are up there. And this other woman comes across and she's like, I'm sorry about that. Let me take care of you. And she was super nice. So I don't know what ruler of her own universe had against me. It was the weirdest thing.
Wait, so somebody
thing.
Else ended up giving
so somebody
did you
else
like walk by and like shake
I was just standing. It was so awkward because by this time I'm the only person in the room. There's three women there with all their laptops set up with the list, and one of them is like total bitch mode to me, and then the other one was so super quiet. She didn't say a word. And then the third one was like, I'll take care of it. She called her boss on the walkie talkie and her boss was like, yeah, no problem. And I was like, okay, it was so humiliating. The whole time I'm sitting there, like, stealing their Laffy Taffys. Like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, they had
I don't know what to do. They did.
There.
They did. I don't know what to do in this moment. So it was really awkward, but I got my passes. I proved who I was, and I got my passes.
And so, because I walked in, I saw you sitting there on your phone. I was like, what's going on? And I said, you can easily look at our footage and photos from last year. You've done this before.
Yeah, I've done
you
it
had a confirmation
times.
Email. Who cares about video for like you literally had a confirmation.
I know. Yeah. It was so embarrassing.
I mean, you're Chasta from the bone. Like we've been
right?
promoting
no,
this.
I'm just kidding. But well, the slam that came the in
later. That came in handy later.
Yeah,
we'll
yeah,
get
actually,
to that.
We'll get to that. So anyways, that was the slam the laptop in my face story.
So we at that point, we all got in our cars. Jay led the way. And so we went through our normal route that we went last time, and we, I think, through the backside of the venue.
Yeah,
and so Jay, love him. He talked his way. Well, I mean, he was honest, though. We were working.
Right. It's just, Jay, we've talked about this on the podcast before. My husband is fearless in these moments because he always says, like, it's the way you act, whether you're supposed to be there or not.
Act like you belong.
Act like you belong. And so he has, and he's such a confident dude anyways. He just strolls right up to the, like, four police barricades you have to get through to get to media parking. He's like, media! And he just...
That's how he got you. He strolled up.
Yeah,
he's like, marry me!
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much.
Nice. All right.
And so
no one
checked our media passes. No one... They just let us through. And then he yells, two cars behind are with us. And I'm all, get him, baby. And it worked
good for
every
him.
Time.
Yeah, so I just followed.
What a beast.
It worked every time. Like, I don't think it would work for anyone but Jay because he's just so damn confident. He's fearless.
And so, yeah, we get there. We parked. We walked inside. I mean, the line was lining up. It was just really cool seeing how many people actually show up for this festival. It's our
and for gates. Like,
yes.
For open. You know?
Yeah, so that's really cool. I mean, this is the biggest rock festival on the West Coast. Hard rock metal festival.
Totally. Yeah.
And so we get inside, we walk to the media. It's the same pretty much layout as last year, same spot. The bar area is actually pretty nicer this year. I thought it was kind of cool decor.
Yeah.
But I don't know about you. So you and I walk in, and there's a lot of other media outlets already setting up. And it was interesting, a little bit different setup inside compared to last year as far as there was actually some bigger tables, but some smaller circular tables.
Yeah.
And we noticed a lot of people claimed the bigger tables on the outside.
Oh, yeah, they did.
And so we're walking, and we have a big group of people because we really want to do a good job of recording, filming.
We came with our entourage.
Yeah, we had our army with us because it was needed because you and I, for years, struggled trying to do everything ourselves. We need the help.
Totally.
So we walk in, and I don't know about you, but, like, I've done, you know, these festival media tents, Super Bowls, you know, like we've done the Grammys, like all these big events where
you just dropping names.
Sorry, let me pick up my pen again.
I know, right?
But this room in particular, when you walk in, I don't know about you, but I just felt like I was getting kind of like some dirty looks, or just like it felt very like tension was in the room, like people looking at us kind of odd. I don't know.
It was
You're tall man, Huey.
That's true. Hey, but the PR guy says, I love you. You always stand out when you walk in. He knew right away we were the Bone Crew.
Yeah, he did. That's true. He's kind of, what did you call him? You called him on Saturday an asset to have.
He is. He's a huge asset to have at any type of group set. I would have killed to have him at like Disneyland as a kid.
Seriously, because like, you can follow him and easily find him. I know. It's so
he
nice.
He'd be a great dad. No kid in a supermarket will walk up to another parent thinking that they're you.
It's true. It is true. So, yeah, I think the room, I think what it is, we didn't have a competition there. Like, there was no one else from San Francisco in the room. So, it wasn't us. I think the competition stemmed from there were other markets in radio there. It reminds me of Anchorman.
Yeah.
That escalated quickly. There are other markets in the room that do have competing stations, like, sitting across from each other. And so, there's, like, their tension. But you just feel it. Like, you just feel the, like... No one's talking grumpy. And like you, we're all like, hey, what's going on? Hi,
everyone's like sitting at the table, kind of got tunnel vision. They're like,
I think people are nervous about the interviews they're about to do too. I think that has
I just
to do
wish
with it.
People kind of warm up and be all, hey, how's it going? Like there were some people we knew from years past who came up, said hi to us.
Jay and Shauna from Reno, what's up?
Awesome
sweetest
people.
What's
up? Yeah. But like there's other people just like, I just give dirty looks. I don't know. I'm not trying to be egotistical or anything, but I think it's just because maybe we're from San Francisco.
Just reach over and do some of that.
Douchey Bay Area media type. Wow.
But I know
I'm with the people from Fresno.
I'll
rep the 559.
But I don't know if it's because like we're San Francisco. Maybe these people in other, you know, quote, smaller markets. I don't know. Maybe they just, like, jealous? I don't know.
But they have
just,
market beef or something?
I don't know. But it's like, we're all in this together.
Market beef. This is not a Chinese restaurant.
But I'm just like, we're all in this together. We'll all have fun, get some great content, interviews, help each other out. But it just felt kind of awkward for me at first. Like, I felt everyone was just kind of like looking at me kind of weird.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I try to make the best of it. Luckily, we found a table in the corner a little bit. It did fine. It did, you know, it was nice having
served
a big table.
Served its purpose.
Yeah, we were by the outlets and all that
stuff. That was the first day.
So overall, though, I enjoyed the very first day. We had a lot of interviews lined up. I really enjoyed August Burns Red. That was our first interview. Those guys were super chill, laid back, easy to talk to.
Yeah.
But that was great for just talking to them, just kind of get us warmed up, kind of get in our momentum
our
going
groove.
For the day. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Deep Valley, those girls were awesome to talk to as well.
I really enjoyed Deep Valley. I really like Deep Valley as a band. When the girls came up, it's funny because their album out currently is called Femagism. They're two like very vocal feminist kind of girls. But then when I asked them a question about like being a woman in a, you know, male industry like rock and roll, they got sort of like annoyed that I asked the question. I'm like, wait, your album is called Femagism. Like, I can't ask you a feminist question?
Yeah. What were they doing?
And they just were like, well, I don't know what it's like to be a guy in the rock and roll industry.
Oh, God.
Like, that kind of answer. I'm like, I'm trying to, like, level with you. You know what I mean? I don't know. I got that vibe from them and the Butcher Babies. Like, they both kind of answered that question. Probably because they get it all the time. But you
bummed
named
I missed
your
out
album
on the Butcher Babies.
Femagism. Interview. I know. I am. I know. Yeah. That was
awesome.
Anyways, I just thought it was kind of a weird moment.
I think for them, maybe they hear it all the time. But I think for them, they should kind of embrace that because I think they could really help break walls down for future generations of women musicians to really feel confident in themselves and establish themselves and go out there and make some great music.
And they're a great band. They're only two girls. It's not like they're two girls in front of the band and they have like male musicians. They're it. They play every instrument. The two girls. That's really awesome.
They can really set a nice pathway for future generations to come.
It's like the White Stripes, but girls.
Yeah.
You know? So,
that's cool.
I know there is a girl in White Stripes. You got where I was going with that. Anyway.
But then next was Pat, the drummer from Anti-Fly.
Oh, my God.
I love Anti-Fly. It's one of my favorite bands all time.
That might have been one of my favorite interviews, if not me, my favorite.
When we get that up at the Bones website, really listen to it. I just really love him opening up. We got kind of serious with some political stuff.
Definitely.
And it was just really, I don't know, say it was really interesting talking to him and just kind of the topics we covered.
Yeah.
And I really just had a fun time talking to him.
Yeah, he's just, you can tell he's a very good soul that like really truly wants to make a difference in the world. And we pick that up really quick. So that's a great, it was one of my favorite interviews.
And actually, I realized they're coming back to Slim's in January.
Oh, sweet.
So definitely maybe try to coordinate, hang out with him again or something with the band. So looking forward to that.
That would be awesome.
Also, next was Highly Suspect.
Oh.
With
yeah.
Those guys. I mean, they were fun. Spike really seemed like a fun party
Spike
dude.
Spike is not in the band.
See, that's the thing.
That's the
like,
thing.
He was the contact. I was like, why is the contact of the band sitting down, the handler?
I think he's like a hype guy for them.
Yeah.
Here's the real tea is I had never heard of Highly Suspect before this. Like, I mean, I'd heard of them.
We
but
saw
I hadn't,
at Bottle Rock.
At Bottle Rock. But I hadn't dug into them. I'll say that. I hadn't dug into them. And so when I was like digging in, I really liked their music. Like, legitimately really liked it. And so when they sat down and like Spike, the contact, sits down to have the interview too, I'm like, and then they start referencing that he throws cake at the crowd and
yeah.
stuff. So I think he's like a hype guy. I don't know what else you would, what other term.
Remember
would
the
work
dancing guy in the Miami Boston?
Yeah.
He might be that
like
guy.
That guy. Yeah. So, anyways, we interviewed the hype guy.
What is it?
My Boston, the dance.
If you're listening to this on the podcast and you didn't see it on Facebook Live, it's unfortunate for you.
That's right. Yeah, if you're listening right now, make
that was a moment.
Yeah, go to Facebook Live on the Bones page, watch it. But yeah, they were still cool to talk to. But then next up was Joyous Wolf.
Oh, I love them.
Which
love
those
them.
Guys, we
oh
joked.
My God.
We didn't know too much about them because there's not a lot about them out on the web.
So here's the thing. I was really nervous to bring up that topic because I did not want to offend them. Because I really like their music. And how can you ask a band, like, how the hell are you on this festival without being offensive? Like,
yeah.
how do you phrase that, right?
Yeah.
And so he kind of made the comment, like, we don't really know how we're here. And I go, okay, well, I'm glad you brought that up because we don't either. And he was like, yeah, we've been a band. We weren't even a thing as of, like, 2 weeks ago, so why would you know us? So they just own the fact that they're brand new. They own the fact that they have no idea how lucky they are.
What do you mean, weren't a thing?
Like, they just started. They have one song on like, Spotify.
They're still a fairly new band.
Brand new band. Brand new band.
How were they there?
Amazing. They're actually really good. The funny thing is their song, Mountain Man, they sound like really burly, like, down and dirty, sleazy guys. And they're, like, younger, like, I don't want to say kids. I think they're in their early 20s, but they're just these younger guys that are so adorable and so cute.
But the other thing is, like, I love their chemistry. They all, I guess, are maybe used to doing interviews together, but all of them took turns talking.
They're all just legitimately really close friends.
Yeah.
You could feel it.
And it was cool. The guitarist, the guy with the big blonde hair,
yes.
I ran into him by the porta potty. He was like, I love your shirt, man. Like, my parents used to play Metallica for me all the time. Uh-huh. Master Puppets changed my life. Like, what's your favorite song from there? And I told him, I love Batteries. Like, yeah, I love that song. And so it was just cool. Like, we were geeking out over music right there. So they were just super
amazing.
Chill dudes.
And you guys have to check them out. Joyous Wolf, I'm telling you. Great.
And then our last interview of the day was with He Is Legend, which those dudes, it was interesting. I text the lead singer. It's like, hey, we're ready for you. And they're sat in the
That's
bar
Skylar,
area.
Right?
Yeah, they're just standing in the bar drinking and smoking. And I'm like, okay, like, come on over here. Like, I text you. Like, and he says, which one are you? He says, I'm the big dude with the Metallica Master Puppet
Can't
shirt.
Can't miss me.
Can't miss me. And I see him reading his phone. Like, I see him across the way. And I'm like, okay, I guess we're on your time right now.
Uh-huh.
So they finally come in, but they bring the whole band over. And in those situations, it can be tough because we are limited on mics. But also, when you have like a whole band, it's tough, I think, who talks. When you ask a question, they all look at each other and like point who should answer that question. So at times, that can be, it can make the interview even just, I don't know, a little more over congested.
Exactly. It just kind of makes it awkward. There's like dead space and like people don't know what to say, or like they try to hand a mic and somebody doesn't want to answer the question. So then they hand it to the next person. I mean, it's just kind of it's kind of hard to interview. I think there were like six of them.
Yeah.
And then can we tell the story of the guy in the corner?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So this is hilarious. I don't even know. Is he the drummer?
He's
the guitarist. So there's like all of them are sitting in front of us, right? And there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6.
Super quiet.
Super quiet. Skylar, the lead singer, who is so cool and, by the way, very cute and really great in the interview. And then the rest of them sort of trickled in. But there's this dude on the end, and I call him this dude because we never got his name. He never once said a word. It was as if he's mute. And if he is, then I'm going to feel like a real dick. But I don't think he is. He was like Mr. Like, he always kept his sunglasses on, and he was mystery man, and he was like in the corner. And then he just sparks up a joint. Like, just lights it up. And all of a sudden, I kind of had like, he was
I watched the whole time.
He was in my
right
peripheral.
In front of me.
Yeah, he was right in front of you. And he like looked at Mari while he was doing it. And Mari's like,
Because he was kind of going like, he was like,
was he trying to pass it?
Well, when he brought it out before he lit it, he kind of, I guess, was looking around like,
Should I do this?
And he just started doing it.
I mean, it doesn't seem that out of the ordinary for a rock festival.
And we're in California. Like, yeah. I guess it's legal now. But, there's still a very sheltered part of Shasta that's from the Bible Belt in Oklahoma. So when I realized, I'm all, I don't know what to do with that. Like, yeah. But it was fine. He just sat there silent, smoking his doobie.
Yeah. So overall, still super chill dudes. We got the interview done. So that'll be up at the website
as well.
Great
band, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly.
And unfortunately, though, the one interview we were really looking forward to was Greta Van Fleet.
I jinxed us because I talked about it on the air. I said we were going to interview them. They were my favorite band of the entire weekend, and their tour bus broke down between Los Angeles and San Francisco, somewhere in the middle. So it took them, I think, like an additional 5 hours to get there, so they had to dump all press, all interviews, and they literally got there and got their set moved. And went on stage. We got to see their set.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we were doing our interviews, and it was like, oh, great, let's go watch them.
Yeah.
I was blown away.
Phenomenal. Even better than I expected. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, because Jimbo arrived at that time.
I got there in time to see them.
That was when you got there, right? Yeah. Oh, my God.
So, as you mentioned, yeah, the second coming of Led Zeppelin. I mean,
honestly,
there are three, the bassist, the singer, and the guitarist are all brothers.
Right. And the drummer's the best friend.
Yeah, and they just sound phenomenal together. Just their sound is amazing. They have a 4-song EP on iTunes. Go ahead and buy that and just be blown away.
Seriously.
It's just refreshing. It's that classic rock sound, but it's fresh, new material. So it's just an ear orgasm.
It is.
Eargasm.
I had to introduce him to Jay, who is a rock snob. Like, legit, you have to prove your way into my husband's, like, repertoire.
Yeah.
And so he was like, I love him. I think he's fantastic. But I think going, like, we have to see them live before I can truly put Jay's stamp of approval on. I'm like, okay. Because, you know, you can, on an album, you can make yourself sound like a lot of things.
Yeah.
So he was like, let's see how he is live. And then the first note out of the gate, I turned around to Jay. I'm like, approved? And Jay was like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So it was cool. We stuck around for a bit, watched The Perfect Circle, some Nine Inch Nails, and then we all got out. It was just a long day. Jimbo took the Amtrak up to Sacramento and met us there.
I had Warriors work to do before that. So
we got up there. So we all left, checked into our nice hotel. Thank you, Jasta, for finding that hotel.
It was nice.
It was really nice in Rancho Cordova.
It was so nice. My husband has a matching tattoo of the logo.
That's right.
You guys.
Got a great photo. You got to share that.
If
he allows it.
I think he'll allow it. I don't think he'll care. The Fairfield Inn & Suites, it's like a sun logo that literally matches my husband's first tattoo. He got it like 25 years ago in the dead center of his back. It's the same thing. I have a picture proof. So he's a big fan of the Fairfield Inn & Suites, apparently.
Well, so I know you were feeling under the weather,
so you wanted to get
to bed. Jimbo and I were hungry, so we took Mari to some Chick-fil-A.
First ever Chick-fil-A experience.
First ever.
It was amazing. So good.
You broke her Chick-fil-A chair.
I did. I was happy to be there for it. Never forget your first.
That's right.
But we were there. We closed the place down.
We did. That was the first for me. Never closed a Chick-fil-A before.
Right? No kidding.
We were eating. We sat there, and they started turning the lights off on us on all the computers. We're like, okay, message sent. We better get out of here. So we took the rest of our Chick-fil-A back to the hotel, watched a little scary movie with Jimbo and I. It was awesome.
He fell asleep.
Oh, you guys tired. Cuddled. You Netflix and chilled.
Yes,
we did,
absolutely.
Actually. Put on It Follows, which is on Netflix, by the way. It's a great horror film for the season.
That's funny.
We got up early and had some breakfast. And we all met in the lobby, and we got ready for day number two. So we head to the festival. This was the big day. This was the day, the reason why Jimbo wanted to be part of Aftershock, our Aftershock coverage, because day number two featured Fozzy, as you know, features Chris Jericho, WWE legend, soon to be Hall of Famer, all that stuff. It's one of our favorite wrestlers. So we get there, and that was going to be our first interview of the day. So we get to the media tent, but first things first, a little drama. I don't know about you. Remember, we walked in and we were going to go to our table, but another station stole it.
So here's the thing in those situations. I always feel like if you're at a 2-day festival or even like a conference, a work conference, right? You kind of like, you own your spot. Like, it's unspoken that like you sit where you sat yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we go to our table and somebody had taken our table. So we got booted and we made that poor, who was that poor guy that?
I forgot, the PR dude, but he started scrambling trying to find another table. And he found another table because it was just some camera dude using it.
That's the guy I'm talking about. He's from the Las Vegas.
A Weekly, I think.
Weekly.
Okay,
that's what
it was.
But thank you, guy, for switching
gracious.
For us.
Yeah, thank you.
Because I felt like a douche making him leave. He offered.
He was very nice about it.
And actually, cool. I think we got the better table.
We did.
So I mean, it was better angle as far as
it
everyone.
All worked out.
Yeah, yeah, it all worked
well
out.
It ends well.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, but Jimbo and I geeked out because we walked in the media tent. First person we see is
that's true. Yeah,
Chris
we saw
Jericho.
Just Chris Jericho doing an interview, which was cool.
We're like, there he is! Oh my God, there he is! So we sat down, and I see him making around all the tables, and I see his handler. So I thought, let me go up to him and just confirm our time. And I realized it's the guy I've been emailing with already. And he says, yeah, you're still good for the interview. We might be running a few minutes late. I'm like, okay, cool. So we sit down, and Jimbo and I, the three of us, are just sitting there waiting. We got our books out,
waiting
got the CD
turn.
Out. We're
Uh-oh.
Just sitting there geeking out.
Live video interrupted.
Oops. Well, we'll keep talking right now. Still
yeah,
doing the podcast.
Yeah, that just
Uh-oh.
Happened.
Justin walked by and he
yeah,
just shut
yeah,
us
no,
down.
Yeah, I know. He shut it down.
Oh,
shut
no.
it down.
So it'll pick back up in a second.
Yeah.
But so for you and I, we're all just sitting there super excited. And he's making rounds. He's getting closer and closer to us. And then his handler says, "Who you only got 2 minutes with him." And I was like, what?
Have
like,
your best 2 minutes.
It sounds
yeah.
a little I was
hope
there.
You thought long and hard about those 2 minutes on the Amtrak, Jimbo.
Yeah, no kidding. No pressure.
And then I see Chris is taking his time, you know, with all the other stations. I'm like, oh, you know, hopefully he'll get here soon. All of a sudden, the handler comes over to us and says, "I hate to be that guy, but we're not going to make it to you." And my jaw dropped. And I was like, are you sure? Like, my immediate reaction was like, oh, no. Like, I felt so bad for Jimbo because he commuted all the way up here on his own dime on Amtrak. The only reason he came here was just to talk to Chris Jericho. And I immediately just, like, my stomach just dropped. And I just felt bad for Jimbo. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, no, like this, I mean, not to toot our own horn, but like you said, we're the biggest station in the room. We should be talking to Chris Jericho. So, but Chasta, I got to give kudos to your husband, Jay.
Guardian angel.
Yes.
This is, again, where that whole fearless moment jumps in. He said, and I asked him when we were driving home how he felt in the moment. He said he was brokenhearted for you guys, but specifically for you because you had gotten on the train to get up there. So he just jumps out of his chair,
dude.
Runs up to the dude that just told us, and he was like, no. And he just goes to town. He's like, Market number 4, best station in the Bay. These guys, you know, blah, 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 blah. And the guy's like, all right, fine, 2 minutes. So, which made me be like, so he had 2 minutes to begin with, and you just like scratched us off for no
yeah.
reason. But whatever, you
yeah.
got your 2 minutes back.
So
Jay was the real MVP.
Way to go, Jay.
Yes,
yes. yes.
So Chris sat down. Or actually, no, first, Rich, the guitarist Fozzy, sat down, and I thought, oh no, don't tell me we're just going to talk to the guitarist from Fozzy.
No offense, Rich.
Yes. But it's like, keep in mind, like you said, we wouldn't really want to talk to Chris Jericho. Then Chris came over and sat down. And of course, I knew once we get him there, we could probably stretch it to more like 4 or 5 minutes, which we did.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun. So, Jimbo, your perspective on just getting to talk to Chris Jericho face to face?
Yeah, I mean, it was nice to meet him in person. That was definitely a big thrill. Well, you know, one of the best wrestlers of all time and somebody that I've followed for years and years that I just really enjoy mm-hmm. his work in the ring and just as an entertainer and everything like that. So that was a big thrill. It was cool to talk to him. I do wish we had gotten like an actual interview slot to talk to him
yeah.
about because I had a lot to ask him about
yeah.
that we obviously weren't able to get to. But, you know, that'll be for down the road. We had our first interview with him was great when he was doing his book tour. But it would have been nice to not be so pressed for time
yeah.
to actually kind of do our thing. I don't feel like we got to do our thing. It was still a very good and fun interview, but it was just so short.
Yeah, well, hopefully maybe next year if we get to go on his cruise, we can have
yeah.
more time with him one-on-one.
Yeah. I don't want to creep him out on the cruise, though, either, though.
I mean, yeah. We'll get some drinks together, man. We'll just drink it in, man.
We'll see what happens.
Yes. So, but it was a lot of fun. But then, you know, we had to take our group photo together.
Yeah, this is the great story.
This is the best story of the weekend.
Huey being a diva once again.
Oh, my God.
And we totally tried to go on Facebook Live to tell you guys this story right after it happened, and we had some signal issues, so here's the story. So we get up after the 2 minutes with Chris Jericho, 2 minutes in heaven with Chris Jericho. So we get up to take the picture, and we're rushed, and so we just jump in. So I wasn't even paying attention. I'm just, like, standing there waiting on everyone to take the picture. So it goes Baby Huey, Chris Jericho, myself, and then you, and then Rich.
Yes.
And so then Baby Huey's like, no, no. And he grabs me and, like, stops down everything and moves me around and is like, Jimbo.
Like, pick Chasta up.
Like, picked me up, threw me out of the photo, picked Jimbo up, threw him in the photo next to Chris Jericho. And he's like, okay, now. And even Chris Jericho is like, I'd rather be by the pretty lady, but whatever.
By the way, Jericho said you were pretty lady.
I know, right?
Well, yeah.
Cool,
so you got
put
that
on my
you.
List. Put yeah. that on the resume. So,
his list.
So now his list. I am on Chris Jericho's list. So then now it goes Baby Huey, Chris Jericho, then Jimbo, no. then myself, and Rich. And then he admitted after the photo was taken that the purpose was to crop me and Rich out later. for purposes of promo use for the picture of the three of you.
Well, okay, because like,
wow.
So here's the thing.
Wow.
That's how much you mean to him.
I obviously, right?
Well, because
you're not getting the Christmas. You're not getting a Christmas present. Maybe not even a birthday present.
I was like so much adrenaline in that moment. I wasn't thinking about that. Then afterwards, I felt so bad. I gave Chaz a hug. I apologize. But keep this in mind, because like I said, Jimbo and I interviewed him before. So my goal was, because I knew we wouldn't have time to do individual photos, because I thought we could do group photo. We could do solo photos with him. I have like just an archive of different angles, all this cool stuff. But I knew we only had time
for lunch together.
Yeah, exactly. We're gonna get a Chris Jericho tattoo.
We're gonna go out to a bar. This is great.
But I thought, okay, if we make like a Jericho sandwich, Jimbo and I.
You said that in the moment.
I missed that part. I did miss that part. He did say that, didn't he? He did say, "Let's make a Chris Jericho sandwich."
He just made it weird.
So, but then I thought, because what we could do is like I could update our previous interview with him back in August. I could crop the three of our heads together and put that as the updated image. So that when people find.
Just Photoshop me onto Chaz's body.
Yeah. I like that idea.
Oh, but then also, Jimbo, if you want to update your Facebook profile picture, you could crop all of us out and just be you and Jericho. So it's like the angle, I wanted so for you, you're on social media.
I don't crop out my friends, Huey.
But even in that moment, as stressed as you were, you had forethought of cropping us out, which was like so impressive. So here's the real tea. I should have totally like stepped away. I didn't need a picture. I'm not a big fan. No offense, Chris.
You are now.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. The album's great. Judas, their album's out.
The thing is, I am a legitimate fan of Fozzy. I'm just not into like wrestling like these two. But anyway, so sorry, but we fixed it. Chasta will forever be cropped out of that photo, so it's all good.
I know we're got short on schedule, but yeah, let's quickly run down the rest of the day. Uh-huh. So we interviewed Black Map. Those guys were awesome. Ben, lead singer and bassist. He's an Alameda guy.
Yeah, local hometown
They're
guy.
Bay Area guy. So the band's phenomenal. So we're going to do some more work with them down the
road. Yeah.
And then also.
I know Ben.
Yeah.
I know Ben from Tim Webb's Bitter End Trivia. He does the music round.
Oh, nice.
Never any Third Eye Blind or Matchbox 20 in that music round, though. Need to work on that, Ben.
We forgot to mention that Spike from Highly Suspect, the hype guy, was wearing the Third Eye Blind shirt.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
He missed that, unfortunately.
Good taste. Yep.
And then one of the guys from Joyous Wolf is from Pacific Grove originally.
Yeah, that
so
was bizarre.
You should have been. You guys had your whole Monterey Third Eye Blind party going on. But after that, we talked to Them Evils. Those dudes were super chill.
Oh,
loved
awesome.
Their sleazy, dirty rock sound.
They're a great band, great guys, like all the way around.
And then last interview of the day was with Butcher Babies.
Yes.
Got to confess my girl crush to both of them. They're both beautiful.
They're stunning. Yeah. Those
they're
girls
babes.
Are literally, they're in like hardcore metal band fronted by these two girls. And they are stunning, like model pretty.
And then, so I would love to interview them again, hang out with them.
Yeah, hopefully
pizza
we'll
party
get to.
On their tour bus or something.
Yeah.
But Carla, if you're listening, hey, girl.
Hey, he has a special crush on Carla.
Absolutely. Love
the
my brunette. Love my brunettes.
Brunette.
Good, I'll take the blonde.
I was going to take the blonde.
Not too late.
He didn't know what to do with that.
But and then Chasta, to your credit, I knew by that point you were exhausted.
I was done.
You've been battling your cold all weekend. That point, you're like, I got to go home.
I felt terrible to bail. We had two more scheduled interviews, and I had a fever. I'd been sniffling like crazy, and so I bailed.
You were in a bad way.
I was in a bad way.
And you were toughing it out. Like,
yeah.
And honestly,
I was prepared to do them if needed, but the one band completely just walked by our table and disappeared.
Yeah, so we didn't feel bad.
And then the other one, their tour manager, and then we're all partying at the bar area talking to girls, so they weren't really caring about our time anyway. So I was like, F it. So I started packing everything up. I was like,
so I didn't miss anything, thank God.
No, not to toot my own horn, but I was like, hey, you and I, Chaz, both talked to Kirk Hammett from Metallica. He was on time.
Right.
I have like so much respect for Metallica. Like,
yeah.
You know, be professional. So I was like, screw it. I'm going to go home or get out, pack out, and leave as well.
Yep.
So Jimbo, Mari, and myself, we started walking out. I rushed over to see Power Trip because I want to introduce Jimbo to the amazement of thrash metal from those guys. So, Jimbo, what's your thoughts on Power Trip?
Not my scene.
Not really your bag, huh?
Not Mike. I like music.
They're no Third Eye Blind.
They're not.
I understand.
They're no.
They were badass. I love Power Trip. It was so much fun. Go see them. They're doing two nights with Cannibal Corpse at Slim's November 14th, which is my birthday, and November 15th. So I'll probably be there for my birthday.
Not
for
me, though. Jimbo will be there.
Absolutely. I will not. I actually told you. I was like, I'll go out before. I'll go out after.
Well, that's my birthday present. You don't have to buy me anything. You just got to go with me.
No, sorry. You can't ask for that. I value my hearing.
Yeah.
After that, we caught a little bit of Five Finger Death Punch. But then
I like them.
Yeah, they're great. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're very good.
We were walking out, heard their Bad Company cover. But at that point, I was exhausted, too. My headache was throbbing as well. So I was like, let's hit the road, get home at a decent time. So we left at that point and luckily beat the most of the traffic from the venue. So we made it home at a decent time. Jimbo and I had some McDonald's in Vallejo. That was fun.
Why is that a thing?
I know. Right?
But overall, it was a lot of fun. So Jimbo, I just want to kind of get your closing thoughts of the whole experience of being part of Aftershock. You're a metalhead now.
It was a great time. Hey, you know, I've been to Mayhem Festival. When are we going to the next one? I've been to Bone Bash. Now Aftershock. Aftershock was a great time. And it was cool just being up there with y'all. And I know even though you weren't feeling good, it was cool to in with Mari and Jay and everything, just to be at an event like that outside of, you know, the Radio Ranch here and just getting to hang a little bit and stuff too. You know, I wish I could have come up from the start with y'all, but I had other work I had to get done, but it was fun.
It was great.
Jassa, thoughts on
it? Yeah, the only thing I was super bummed about was being sick and having to charge through. I was super sad on Saturday night that we couldn't all go have beers together because I was sick. Yeah. But you guys had your Chick-fil-A experience, so that was great. Awesome. Everybody we interviewed was great. Yeah. I do have like a penchant for Joyous Wolf now because those kids are so damn cute.
Absolutely. Yeah. So me too. I had so much fun. It's the one big festival we look forward to every year now. I look forward to next year. I'm already anticipating what the lineup could be next
year. Cannot wait.
So looking forward to it. So remember, everything else at 1077thebone.com. We have all our interviews, video interviews, the podcast. Subscribe to 1077 The Bones podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. That way you'll be the first to know, get the notification when we upload those. But yeah, it was so much fun. Like I said, thank you to everyone who helped us out there. Like I said, thank you to Jay again for saving Jimbo's trip to Sacramento.
We're going to have to get him a drink.
Thank you, Jay. Absolutely.
Jay is a good dude to have on your side. We'll say that.
Dude, he's just like, he just fits right in with that too. Like I want him at any event I go to.
But one thing I will say this, I was just bummed that this year there was a lot of bands we wanted to talk to, but they turned us down. But then we still saw them in the media tent. I was like, hey,
They said they weren't doing press, and then they were in the press tent. So
I hate to be like Jericho's guy, but I gotta go. That's a wrap.
That's a wrap. That's a wrap for Jimbo.
Thank you, Jimbo.
He's got an important meeting to go to.
Cool.
Love you.
But
Latin lover.
No, but yeah, real quick, I could touch on this thing since we're not so much pressed on time. But yeah, that was my one thing. Which I was just a little bummed. Was that we saw a lot of bands that turned us down for interviews. We still saw them in the media tent because they said, they're not doing press that day. And they saw them in there. I'm like, all right, good to know.
Yeah.
And it was just maybe because last year we were really lucky that last year's lineup consists of a lot of bands who were just down for doing press.
Every single band wanted to do press.
I mean, we talked to Slayer, Parkway Drive. I mean, just all, I think we had like 16 interviews last year.
It was bam, 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 bam.
Yeah. This year, maybe it was just because it's just the lineup and those bands, some of them were just not down for doing press. But
also, this one picked up on a lot of the end of tours for people.
Yeah.
And I think by the time bands like have done, you know, a couple months on tour, their last show, they're just like, they don't care to do anything. So
yeah.
I think that happened too.
That's the thing. And so we saw some bands come in, do a couple of interviews, cut out. So, but nonetheless, hey, we still enjoyed what we got. It was so much fun. It was cool just in the backstage area that we were at. Gary Holt from Slayer was back there. Jared, the bassist from Machine Head, was also there.
Just walking around.
I mean, it's just cool that a lot of bands who maybe are not on tour still come to this festival and just want to hang out with everyone. So that media tent we were in, it turned into really like the party, like the real cool party
spot.
It
definitely does. It's because it's the media VIP lounge also for the artists. So the way it goes, like just to give you guys
Corey Taylor, Slipknot, Stone Sour, he walked through
that
there.
That was crazy. That was when I was like, oh my God. Because what it is, so you've got the main stage and then behind that, the media tent. And then behind that is backstage where all the tour buses are. So they like pretty much hang out on their tour buses and then they come into the media tent to do interviews or get a drink from the bar or whatever. So we're kind of like the middle ground between stage and tour bus.
Yeah.
So you do see all of these rock stars like walking around. Whether or not you talk to them is one thing. But yeah, when Corey Taylor walked by, I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. That was pretty cool.
And it was cool. I mean, like, the one bummer is since we're doing so many interviews, we didn't have a chance to really get to watch a lot of the music. I think we were talking to Joyous Wolf and I hear Stone Sour playing song number 3, which is like my favorite song from their new album, Hydrograd. But I was like, oh, I hear it playing. So I'm trying to listen to their answers, but at the same time, I'm trying to rock out in my other ear. I was like, oh, yeah. I hear it going on. So, but nonetheless, like I said, super fun. It was just such an amazing experience. So hopefully you guys were out there. Let us know your thoughts on it as well. Or if you missed it, make sure to follow The Bone on all of our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Like I said, everything else will be up at 1077thebone.com. Yes, there any major comments, anything we need to address?
Yeah, it's funny. Our comments weren't working. We're having like a lag or something. So they just started coming in like bam, 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 bam. So anyways, a couple I wanted to touch on. Somebody's saying, check out Lip Shock. I know Lip Shock well. Love Scarlett. Love them. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. A metal female fronted by Jen Scarlett. Yeah, so love them. Jim Barry loves Corey as well. Tara Black on here. She loves us. Love to you. A lot of people just saying Super Baby Huey. Love my top. Steven Geiser is sitting there watching us with a bum hip. He just had surgery.
Ooh.
Hi. Love you. Love you. Looking cute from Marlon. Love my blouse. Morning. Yeah. So you guys, cool. They're catching up like as we go here.
Gotcha. Well, if you're tuning in on the Facebook Live video and you missed part of the conversation, make sure to go back and listen to the full podcast up at 1077thebone.com. Jess, anything you want to plug, promote?
Oh, gosh. It's just that we're going to be posting these interviews like furiously on the Bones website. I think those are, you know, mostly where I want to point people.
Okay. Yep. Awesome. Where can people find you online?
Yep. Instagram is Chasta Lynn. Twitter is Chasta. And Facebook. Facebook. It took my face. It's Chasta Radio.
I'm Baby Huey. Follow me on Facebook at Baby Huey Official. Twitter and Instagram at Baby Huey 83. Like we said, everything else, 1077thebone.com. You should be bookmarking that on your browser or on your phone, checking it every day. We're always putting up a ton of new stuff up there. Oh, I was going to tease Jim, but I'm going to see Thor Ragnarok this Thursday.
Oh, are you?
So I was going to get his reaction about it. So we'll save that for a future episode. Thank you again for everyone for tuning in, either listening to this podcast or on Facebook Live. We love all the support. And until next time, have an awesome rest of the day. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Other Guys podcast. Be sure to follow the Other Guys on all their social media pages. Facebook.com/TheOtherGuysPodcast. Instagram at The Other Guys Podcast. And Twitter at TOG Podcast. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. And of course, check back to 1077thebone.com. for new and previous episodes of The Other Guys Podcast.
Party on, dude!